There comes a time when it's more than just fantasy, when it's more than just a dream. There comes a time when you are the coach. Those players out there taking huge hits, smashing sixes and kicking goals, they're your players. It's your pride on the line, all in the name of bragging rights. When the time comes, there is only one place to turn. There is only OTLS Fantasy Sports Refuge.
So, we have finally made it to AFL Grand Final week. We will be discussing all things Fantasy Pick'em shortly, and to do that with us, as always, is Archie. But before we get to that, I wanted to ask you this, Arch. If in January of this year, somebody told you Grand Final week would be 4 weeks later than expected, would be played between Richmond and Geelong, who have been on a 16-week road trip, and would take part at the Gabba, under lights, at night, with half a crowd, no parade, and even the Brownlow would be done via video link, what would have you said to that?
Mate, I just flat out wouldn't have believed you. I think with those ones, even about the only thing there that I would have possibly thought was a possibility back in January would have been a Richmond-Geelong Grand Final.
Yep.
Apart from that, there's nothing else there that's would even be considered. You know, if old mate Tom Brown had have put that up in even one of those things up in January, he would have been laughed out of the industry.
It's insane. We're just talking about it quickly off air, weren't we? We think about it now, and as we've had each step along the process, you know, every week, every 2 weeks has been something else and something else, we can see how we got to this point. But if you were to go back to January and somebody threw what's happening right now in your face, you would have just said, what drugs are you on? Wouldn't have happened.
Yeah, and you throw in things like, as you say, Zano, Melbourne teams not being able to play in Melbourne.
Yeah.
Throw in four-week rolling fixtures. Throw in teams being announced 24 hours behind. Yep. Was it 18 games in 21 days or something like that?
Yeah, like a game every 4 days. And, you know, this is only on the grand final. Crazy. This isn't about the whole season at all. So it's been intriguing, Arch, but look, we're there at least. We are there.
I was going to say, we got there, Zeno. We've got a grand final. We've got people that can go to it, which is an improvement on a lot of countries around the world.
Sure is.
Even if it is a 50% crowd or whatever it's going to be. At least we've got people that can actually go.
That's dead right. So, and even though it's 4 weeks later, it just means it's a bit warmer for a beer that evening. So,
and it also gives us an extra couple of hours to drink through the day.
I'm still going to start my usual drinking session at 9 o'clock.
Fair enough.
That's not changing. So, always start at 9 o'clock grand final day, and I'm still anticipating to do that. Might be a different look by 4:30, but you know, we'll live.
I did put my first little couple of bets on today, though, Zano.
Yeah, I haven't gotten that far yet, Arch, but we'll have a play in the next couple of days for sure. All right, well, let's have a quick look, Arch. We'll go back to the results from the week just gone. So Friday night, of course, we had Richmond, who beat Port Adelaide in a close one by about 10 points. 6 points, wasn't it? Don't know where I got 10 points from. And then Saturday night, we had Geelong put their foot on the Lions' throat and belted them by 40 points. So that was a bit of a statement on that one. Which, of course, means we have a Richmond versus Geelong Grand Final, which we mentioned. Richmond is technically the home game, and they are playing that at the Gabba, under lights at night, which is going to be, 7:30 their time. Are they on daylight saving?
No, so Queensland isn't. So it's 4:30 our time over here in WA, 7:30 for Melburnians.
Yep.
And 6:30 for Queenslanders.
Beautiful. All right, Art, so you're going to have a quick look at any injuries, which really didn't happen, but that's cool.
Yeah, look, there's none for, or that we know of so far, for the teams that are playing in the grand final, but yeah. I did want to take note and just acknowledge, obviously, Brad Ebert. I think it's highly appropriate that the last act that he did on the footy field was so courageous, going back with the flight of the ball, wearing a helmet because of the concussion issues that he did have.
Yep.
And just basically getting KO'd again. And when they picked him up, he looked like he was in... Oh, mate, he looked like he wasn't even in 2020. He looked like he was in, you know, 2090. He was nowhere near it. But
yeah, he was.
I think it was the only decision. If he was probably considering it anyway, but there was really no other option for him with the amount of concussions that he's had this year. And he's just hoping that it doesn't impact him too heavily later on in life.
Well, yeah, that, we know the situation's there for a lot of players. But, yeah, look, great player, and unfortunately probably didn't get a lot of his twilight years the way he would have liked because of concussions and his injuries. But, nah, he's definitely been a stalwart of the competition, and take our hat off to him for sure. But outside of that,
absolutely. All right,
nothing
to be
heard of. So it's all good.
Back to, yeah, so nothing apart from that, which is good. Means we've got full list to choose from this week, hopefully.
Yep.
But before we look at what's coming up, let's look at the round that's been. Zano, take us through the top scoring defenders for the prelim week.
Yep, so we got one guy here on top of the table who it's actually his second week in a row. So we'll get to him probably
this
later.
This is interesting, Zano.
It is. So the highest scoring defender for the week was Lockie Henderson with a 71 from Geelong. Dan Houston had a 69, Rich had a 68, Blix Arves a 62, and Lester from Brisbane a 59. So actually quite some poor scoring there from the defenders. In fact, it was pretty much across the board, to be honest. But not a lot there to get excited about, I don't think, Arch.
Are you going to pick Henderson this week, Zana? I don't think anyone's actually picked him in the competition. I haven't gone through and had a look, but the name doesn't ring a... I don't know, there might be one person that's done it, but if I had to put money on it, I think that no one's picked him yet.
I think there's been a few emergency selections with him, but I don't think anybody's played him on field, not that I'm aware of. Look, I haven't fully considered my team yet. At this stage, probably not, because we'll get a little bit later on and I'm still sitting pretty for the last round with the players available. He might be different this week. He's up against a couple of extra talls in the Richmond line, so he might have to play a little bit taller himself. So we'll wait and see there. All right, Arch, on to the mids.
Yeah, so in the mids we had Brownlow medalist Lockie Neal, top score on 99.
And also, look, congratulations to Lockie Neal, and also congratulations on your Brownlow, not Lockie.
Yeah, we'll let that one go through to the keeper, mate. Let's just say he's in a good paddock at the moment.
He's done well for himself, there's no doubt there.
So next up was Mitch Duncan on 85. Joel Selwood, after another slow start, was finished on 83.
Yep.
Ollie Wines, 82.
Oh, hang on. Slow start. I'm pretty sure Selwood was on a donut at quarter time, wasn't he?
Well, that's slow, Zana.
That was just beyond slow. He may have been, mine wasn't as bad as Laddams, so I think it was on -7 or something stupid. But, he had a shocking first quarter. Sorry, Arch, just had to interject there.
No, all good, mate. We had Xavier Dersma, who is going to be an absolute gun. Mm. And I believe he's taking over Brad Ebert's #7 next year.
Yep, that's what
he finished on 79. Sam Mangola, 77. And the Rock Pig finished on 74. So... no magnificent scores, but a fair few solid scores. There wasn't too many disasters in the midfield this week.
No, there was a few guys. I think Prestia Guthrie was fairly highly selected as well, who hurt a few.
Yes.
Prestia, and who else was there? There was one other that I can't remember off the top of my head who it was when I was doing the scores. There was one other that was really poor that was highly selected, but cannot remember off the top of my head. But it might come to me later on. So, solid mainly, but there were the odd real poor score coming through.
Cool. And Rux Zeno.
Yep, so this is pretty easy, Arch. Nan Curvis with 106. That was a blinder of a game, mind you.
It was a real good game, yep, wasn't it?
Lysette with 71 and Stanley with 66 were really the best pick there.
Cool. And then in the forward line, going out with a bang, Brad Ebert finished on 88,
yep,
as did Tom Hawkins, Brandon Parfitt, who I think, look, I'll be honest, most people have probably used him already. He's on 83, Connor Rosie, 81, and Dusty Martin, another solid 79. It was a really tough decision as to whether or not I had him as my loophole option this week. I decided not to because if you're going to take Dusty, you might as well take him in the grand final, I reckon.
Yeah.
So he's first selected this week in my team in the forward line.
It's an interesting one, isn't it? Because it's a big... the grand final's for the big-name players, and he's well and truly that. So we'll wait and see. All right, Arch, some captain selections. So the most selected captain this week was Lockie Neal by 11 coaches on 99. He scored, of course, as well. So... is that close to half? Just under half of the selections?
Yep.
Oh, probably about a yeah, probably about a half, just under.
Yeah.
Lachie Neal was there. So next best was Mitch Duncan's 85, and six coaches had that. So you're not going to be too upset if you were any of those 17 coaches, I don't think. So
no.
That wasn't too bad. Then you had four guys who picked Rocky, who had 74. Two people had Zorko's 52 as captain.
That hurts.
That does. And Guthrie's 54 was selected by two people as well. Yep. Danger's 65 was one. Not a disaster, but you wouldn't be stoked by that. No. And then Wines is 82 and Boak's 80 both had one as well, captain selection there, Arch. So pretty clear lead to Neil and Duncan this week just gone.
Yep. Absolutely. And in the rucks, we always like to have a bit of a look at them. We had seven people pick Nankervis, which was great. Get his 106 there. But only one of them actually picked him initially to start with.
Yep.
The other six coaches all looped him. And then we had, obviously, Lysett, as we mentioned, for 71. We had a couple with Big O for 62, Stanley with 66, and we even had four coaches pick Steph Martin for his anemic 43.
Yes.
Which brings us to the top scorer of the round, Zeno.
Drum roll,
Arch. Now, this is slightly embarrassing, because the top scorer of the round was Zeno, and quite clearly, too. Finished on 931, mate. Well done.
Yeah, let's just say I was due. Let's leave it at that.
Still only about halfway in there overall, though, wasn't it?
Overall, it's picked me back up from almost at the bottom to about halfway in, yeah. So, as we know, this game you can jump up pretty quickly. But, look, my two captains are 66 and 67, probably what really hurt me early on.
Yep.
And we spoke a bit about how I did not have an ineligible player for this round. So clearly that's helped out there. The question is whether or not I'm too far back to make a difference, not the last week, but we'll come to that later on, I'm sure.
What I like about this game, Zeno, is you're never totally out of it.
No, you're not.
In second place, we had Baked Beams. He came in at 903. And then Doddy from Gorn Fritchen. 902 was the only other player to crack 900 there. So overall this week, the average round score was 820, which was the lowest, actually, of the final so far. Week one, there was a slightly higher average of 821. And then week two was 863. So obviously week two, quite a bit better there than the other weeks there with that Geelong game where people just absolutely went off. So
that's right.
That's for the round, Zeno. Who's leading overall?
So overall in first spot, we have got a Doddy from Gorn Fritchen. He's a total score of 2730.
Yep.
Now, he's got 11 ineligible players this week. In second spot, we've got James with Jackers Quackers, 29 points behind of 2701. Now, he's got 14 ineligible players, which is actually equal highest. So we'll come to that in a while.
Yes.
And now, this is also embarrassing. Archie's in third spot in 2696 with only 8 ineligible players. So top three looking pretty sweet at the moment, Arch.
Yeah, it'd be a pretty bad look if I won our own competition, or if we won our own competition 2 years in a row.
In a row, I
assure you there's no cheating or anything like that, because Zeno and I wouldn't let each other get away with it. We can't stand it when the other person wins. So I guarantee you there's no cheating. But yeah, it's been...
Yep.
The thing is, Zeno, I've had solid rounds without being spectacular.
Yeah, exactly.
And a couple of good captain selections definitely helps, as you know, as you found out the first couple of weeks, where if your captain's getting 60s versus 80s or 90s, it really makes a big difference.
It sure does. And just to sort of put everybody's mind at ease about you in third, I did check your scores 17 times, so we are onto it, people. Now, the average overall score so far, now that's for teams. We've had about three or four teams that have dropped off the last week or two, which is understandable, but we've had an average overall score of 2,503 is the average at the moment. So, if you're above that, you're doing all right. Now, most ineligible players, as we mentioned, is actually 14. That's James, Ando, and Rob all have 14 players ineligible. The guys with the least ineligible players is myself still with 5, and both Punchy and David have 6 each. still only ineligible players. So going to be running a lot of premiums this week. The average is 10, Arch. So somewhere in the middle of all of that.
Yep. No, looking through the team list today, I'm about halfway through sending out the emails there of everyone's scores and ineligible players. So you should hopefully, if things go well, get yours, if you haven't already, by dinner time tomorrow, hopefully. Beautiful. We'll be good. So keep an eye on that. But yeah, there's a pretty big variety, Zano. Lots of people around that, obviously 8, 9, 10.
Yep.
And yourself really dragging it down there with 5 there. So, yeah, that's been interesting. As I say, it's the pick'em, it's the tipping side of things that really helps in this competition.
It does. And it's a pity I had two really poor captain choices because it would have been really interesting to see how it would go if it was, a bit more level coming into that last round with so many players to pick from and how wet a sail it is. But, yeah, we're not going to get a good read this year, unfortunately, because the 66 and 67 to start off with was a killer. But that's the game we play.
Couple of other quick notes, Zano. It was by far the most loophole round. I know you and I both spent most of Saturday afternoon re-entering teams, checking the forms that were coming in. 43% of coaches actually did a loophole.
Yep.
Which kept us on our toes, and a couple even did a couple of loopholes.
And a quick shout out to Urban, who I reckon put about 4 teams in, who at one stage messaged me and promised that he wasn't going to bother loopholing, he was just going to go with his team from day one all the way through. So, yeah, thanks for that lie, Urban. Let's move on.
Yep. I think, did he loophole every line?
I don't know about every line, but I did see at least 3 attempts of him.
At least 3 lines.
Yeah, so fair enough, though. Don't worry, I think we all did it. So.
Yep. And I think it's also worth a note that teams that did not pick Lachie Neale at all. So there were 8 teams that didn't register a score for the highest overall scorer for the season in Lachie Neale. So that was interesting.
It was. A few might have picked him to get through to the grand final.
Missed out on him, that's for sure.
You would be, especially that the first round he was a bit ordinary, but that last round he was brilliant.
Yep. Yeah, absolutely. All right, so enough of a recap, Zano. Let's start to look forward to Grand Final week. Without, as you say, all the hoopla of the Grand Final parade, do Melbourne still get their public holiday, do you know?
Well, I'm not sure, to be honest, Arch.
I would have. They would have had it, I would have thought, when the Grand Final was meant to happen.
Yeah, I'm honestly, I couldn't answer that one for you, mate. I do not know.
No, fair enough, mate. Fair enough. All right, so the grand final is Saturday night, as we mentioned, 7:30 Eastern Daylight Saving Time at the Gabba.
Uh-huh.
Okay, so we look back.
let's just quickly mention that. It's not entirely the Gabba Arch. There is some MSCG there.
Don't even get me started. I tell you what, how good is the publicity for... what a rebel. They're a sports...
They're a
clothing place.
Sports clothing brand, yeah.
Yeah. Tell you what, the amount of mileage they've got with their truck and their logo on the side of that truck being plastered all over the place, look good on them for that stunt because everybody knows who's shipping that turf up to the Gabba.
I reckon I've seen it 1,000 times myself, and that's one person. So, it was well and truly very clever of them to slap that on there, that's for sure. We digress, Arch.
We do. So the last time they met was actually in round 17. And Richmond did defeat Geelong by 26 points. Interesting to note is Richmond actually held the Cats to just 1 goal through to three-quarter time.
That's right, yep.
So that will be... I can't see that happening again on the weekend, but it was interesting to note. Noah Bolter had a really good game. He held Tom Hawkins to just 1 goal.
Yep.
The best, according to the AFL website there for Geelong, was Stuart Guthrie and Dangerfield.
Oh, I've got all
for
3.
For Richmond was Rewalt Dusty and Liam Baker.
Nice.
And the top scorers from that game, Guthrie, who's definitely... Look, if you haven't picked him already, you'd better get on him this week because obviously you can't pick him the week after. And he is scoring a ton. So he actually tunned up the last time with 113 in a losing side. Blixavs, 94. Stewart, 91. Radigalia, who won't... I would be very surprised if he plays.
Can't see him playing.
I wouldn't, wouldn't be expecting it. He scored 89 and O'Connor scored 83. So, Zana, if you're keeping track, there's not a Richmond player in that. We had to go down to Nankervis and Dusty at 79 there before we get any Richmond players. And it is interesting to note, as you said here in the run sheet, Zano, both Selwood and Prestia were missing for that game for their respective teams.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it'll be interesting to see how it goes. And we're going to come to some tipping in a minute about who we think is going to be the... you know, the top scorer for the round. But I guess, Zano, this is where we talk a little bit about our actual strategy for the grand final. And I'm not going to let you off with just picking the best players. Who are you looking... Who are some players that you're targeting that you think will go well?
Yep, so I'm just picking the best players available because I've got a lot of them. look, in all honesty... Again, my strategy is probably a little bit different to a lot because, as I said, I've only got five players unavailable this week.
Yep.
So I really am looking for the highest, best premiums I possibly can. Now, the back line's probably the hardest. Even if you had every backman available this week, you're probably going to struggle a little bit. So for me, I've taken that punt on Henderson, Arch. We sort of mentioned that earlier. Yep. And really, it's short two in Henderson. That's really all I've got up my sleeve in the back line. So back lines could be quite ugly this week, which is quite interesting. Midfield's pretty sweet, you know. I've got Guthrie, Menegola, and Dangerfield. So they're the three that you're sort of locking in. And then I've got a toss-up, you know, the Prestia, Cochin, or Selwood types. I go there. So, again, I'm just going to be picking the best guys available. In the ruck, it's really interesting. Really, if you haven't used Nankervis, you're going to use him, but most people used him on the weekend, so he's going to be out. And especially considering he's 106, everyone just went, well, I can't not have 106. So I had to take it.
Correct, yeah.
So it leaves a Stanley or Bolter. Now, there's actually a lot of guys that may well have used Stanley and Nankervis. I haven't looked at that, Arch. And maybe something we should have had a look at. Maybe we'll tweet out who's used the number of guys that have used both, which actually leaves you Noel Bolter, I reckon, is the only available ruckman likely at this stage. So that could be a bit of a mess. We'll have a look at that afterwards.
Can he enjoy his 37 points?
Exactly, if that's on a good day. And then, of course, in the forward line, well, look, again, I've got Hawkins, Parfitt, and then I've actually still got Ablett available to me. So... Yep. I'll run with those three. It's Ablett's last game. I expect him to kick six, so may as well do that. And then I've got a few guys like Lambert and that sort of up my sleeve, but it's that. And I'm tossing up whether I go the Dangerfield or the Guthrie captain, to be honest, Arch.
Yep.
We mentioned it earlier that grand final day is the big player day, and if Dangerfield isn't a big name player, then I don't know who is.
Yeah, that's it. I mean, you look at who's won the last three norms. You've gone Dusty, Luke, Shuey, Dusty, you know.
Yep.
The cream of the crop there. So I agree. If you've got those top guys available, I like Danger as well in the middle there if you haven't picked him. I think Selwood will have a solid 70 to 80 there as well. But I do like guys that you mentioned before, Zana, that could... you know, just get you a solid 70 if you're struggling. So guys like Kane Lambert, he could pop up and kick a couple of goals. Camden McIntosh is another one for Richmond. If you're looking for I think he's midfield eligible there.
Yeah.
Out on the wing there, he could go all right. Could you go Marlon Pickett again? He did score pretty well. He's a bit too flashy. He does amazing things, but not a lot of them.
I don't think so. But, yeah, you've got that. You've also got a few guys like Edwards and Baker as well, Arch. And Baker's DPP forward defender. So with Edwards available in the defence as well. So you got a little bit up your sleeve there. If you've used Short, Tui, Blixarves, Henderson, which a lot of guys sort of backed Brisbane in, so a lot of those guys were out of the... Tui, Henderson and Blixarves were quite highly owned this week and last week. So... you might have to go to guys like Baker and Edwards to get you through there, I think.
And never underestimate a Rioli in the grand final, mate.
Absolutely.
That's the other bit of advice.
It's all, he's almost got to find a way into your team, doesn't he? Even if he's just on your bench, just to bolster everybody
else.
Yeah,
actually, that's a good point. I think I might put him as my forward bench spot.
I think I might change that as
not
well.
Not that we can loop or anything there, but just to have him in my team on grand final day, they just seem to win, don't they?
They do. Rioli, you've got to have a Rioli almost to win a grand final. That's pretty obvious. We know that from the last, 4 years now? Maybe more.
3 years at least, and then they skipped one with
the Dogs.
When the Bullies won.
Yep, and then there's
three
before
that. And
three
lots with Hawthorn. I think Cyril played in all three of those.
I'm pretty sure he got three.
So what's that? So. 6 of the last 7 years are Rioli's one.
Yep, so you've got to have a Rioli. So, all right, Arch, what's your strategy going in? Because you've got a few less players than me.
Yeah, I do. Look, mine's pretty straightforward there. I'm looking at those midfield guys, as I said, that... you know, have potential to get me solid scores. So I'm missing Duncan, Menegola, those sorts of guys. So Dangerfield is an obvious lock there for me. I think probably Prestia. I think he'll go quite well on the inside.
Yeah.
Guys like that, I think, will be quite handy. Guthrie's out for me as well. That's the other one. So that's who I'm looking at there. And as I say, in the forward line, I've locked in Lambert already. I just like what he does. I'm also thinking of a sneaky Jason Castagna. He tends to bob up and kick two or three goals. It wouldn't surprise. He could quite easily kick a goal a quarter if the Tigers get on top. I know he did quite well from memory last year against GWS. Actually, no, GWS didn't actually show up, did they? Whoever it was that they were meant
the
to be playing.
Hats. That's right.
Castagna did quite well. I'm looking at getting the big body guys, not necessarily the flashy guys. So, as I say, I'll have Rioli on the bench. I'm going to stay away from Pickett and those smaller body guys. I think it would be quite in and under there.
It's interesting, the forwards, because you've really got the four guys for Richmond in Lambert, Baker, Castagna and Rioli. Generally, you'll find two out of the four will score really well and two out of the four will sort of have a bad day. So you've got to get lucky and pick the right guys if that's the path you're going down. Definitely.
All right, Zano. So let's go through our actual predictions for the grand final. So we did put the shout out on Twitter there for some predictions. So we want to know who's going to win, who's going to get the normie, and who's going to be the top fantasy scorer. So I'll go first. I reckon Geelong will win. It's tough, mate. Like last year, I was fairly certain Richmond would win.
Yeah.
And I was fairly certain they would win easily. But this one's tough. I don't know. It's a bit like the Bulls back in the, you know, back in the 2000s. You've got to show me that somebody can beat them. Mm. You've got to show me that somebody can knock Dusty off the perch. And I don't know. Geelong, it's a toss of the coin, but I'm going Geelong. I'm going Dangerfield for the Norm Smith. I reckon he'll get 22, 23 possessions and maybe three goals, and that'll get him the normie. And the top scorer, I'm gone with Duncan there, and I reckon he'll score just a smidge over the 100. I reckon there'll be only one player score over 100 for the game, looking at the trends from the last couple of weeks.
Yep. So, look, I'm not too far off that mark. I think Geelong as well. I'm the same. It's very hard to pick a grand final lot, and especially in 2020. It's the team that's going to be best on the day. The reason why I'm going with Geelong...
No, that's the same every year.
That's true, except there's the odd year it's not, but most years. The reason I'm going with Geelong is I think they're the most in form out of the two at the moment.
Yep.
They seem to be playing the best link up sort of football out of the two teams. Now, anything can happen on the day, as we know. So that's all I'm basing my selection on, is the fact that they seem to be in better form than Richmond. So that's why I've picked them. I've also gone the Norm Smith as danger, as we keep saying. Big game, big name player stand up. But I'm going to go the top scorer as Guthrie. Had a shocker last week. I reckon we might see him bounce back and have a blinder this week, Arch.
And don't forget as well, Zano, the conditions that Richmond played in on Friday night, sure, they got the extra game, but that heavy rain, they do have to travel, which Geelong for once doesn't. Yep. They're already in Brisbane. So, sure, it's when you're looking at, you know, the little things, every little edge you can get, that's got to help, not having to play in that that quagmire that was Friday night. Yes,
and not just that as well. Geelong haven't lost at the Gabba for 13 years or something stupid now, is it? I read something along that.
I don't know,
that.
Mate.
Yeah, it was. There was some absolute stupid thing where they hadn't lost at the Gabba for, like, I'm sure I heard it was 13 years or something like that. So, and Brisbane hadn't beat them for 13 years or something. So they still continued on their way at the Gabba this week. Also, the fact that you sort of mentioned to yourself the conditions of Brisbane are going to be greasy, and Geelong have played in that a couple of weeks now. So, I just, again, I don't think it's a big lean, but it just leans me towards Geelong, all those little things.
Cool. All right. And we did put the shout out, as we say, on Twitter, Zano, to see what some of the other Pick'em contestants are thinking. So we'll start with our good mate, Urban Garuda. So he's picked the Cats as well. And he's gone Guthrie for Norm and Guthrie for fantasy points. So
yes,
two guesses who his captain's going to be this week, I reckon, Zano.
I reckon you're pretty right there, Arch. I reckon he might be picking Guthrie.
And then we had current, was he second or third place, Doddy?
Yes, he's in.
No, I'm third, so he must
first,
be second.
He's in first.
Is he in first?
Doddy's winning.
Oh, well, sorry, Doddy. My apologies, mate. I didn't scroll up on the run sheet. So he's gone the Cats as well, with Mitch Duncan for Norm Smith and Mitch Duncan for the highest fantasy scorer. And the only Richmond tip that we got in, Zano, Maddie Irwin.
Yes.
She's tipped Richmond with Dusty for the Norm Smith and Danger as the top fantasy scorer. And look, I do think if Richmond do get up, Dusty would be odds on favourite for the Norm. It's just what he does, isn't it?
It is. It's hard to go past him. Especially, again, big name players, mate. You have to love it, don't you? So, What do you do? It is what it is, and I agree with you. I reckon it'll be. I reckon that if they get up, he's got to be the one that gets there. So, I couldn't argue with that one little bit.
Cool. So normally, Zane, I was thinking we normally run through the top available players for each line at this point, but I feel like we've pretty much spoken about each of them. So I might just quickly go through and mention the ones that we haven't spoken about already. So in the defenders, Nick Flosten is another one that we haven't mentioned. In the mids, I think we've pretty much gone through most of those. Jack Graham, if you're really desperate there.
Yeah.
He'll be keen to, I guess, put in a good performance after he missed out due to injury last year.
Yes.
Which was devastating for the kid. So he'll be keen to go. The Rucks, look, Nankle Stanley, there's no one else there. Shai Bolton is one, I think, Zano, that would be quite handy. If you haven't picked him already in the forward line.
He could well, like, yeah, I mean, again, it depends on how many guys you got up your sleeve. He'd be probably number fifth or sixth on your radar, I would have thought. Yep. But if you've got nothing else, you've got nothing else, do you?
Yep. And I think even just for sentimentality's sake, you might want to look at putting Gary Ablett on there. If you're not putting a Rioli on your bench, maybe put an Ablett on your bench there just to say thanks to the little master.
Yeah, he's in my team, Arch, because he's going to go out with a bang, I can feel. He's going to go out with a big bang.
I think they'll look to feed him, especially if they're winning, Zano.
Yeah.
If they're winning and he hasn't kicked a goal, they will definitely look to get him one, that's for sure.
Yeah, 100% agree. He'll, he should be good for the weekend. I really like him for the weekend. It's sort of, again, big name players, big name game. So,
absolutely.
What can you do? Cool. Well, that should be it again this week, listeners. So, thanks again for tuning in. As always, hit me up at OTLS Zano and overlinesports.com.au. Brought to you by Check My House Price. Probably the quickest way to keep an eye, or one of the quickest ways to keep an eye on the results as well. So, when we get the results up this week, Archie, could be debatable because by 7 o'clock on Saturday night, we may not be in a state to be doing that. May not be until we wake up Sunday. But again,
I was going to say, don't expect it Saturday night. Put it that way.
Actually, we'll even put a foot down right now and put a line in the sand saying it's not happening Saturday night. No. So thanks again, everybody, for playing.
I think, Zano, it's fair to say, even if we did do it Saturday night, there's a fair chance it wouldn't be right.
Yes, so let's review it and
give ourselves 8 million points each and leave it at that.
That's right. So definitely don't expect it. It's not happening Saturday night. Let's leave it at that. And stay safe, everybody. We're getting better, but we're not there yet.
You can get me at OTLS Archie on Twitter. As I said before, I'm about halfway through sending out the results from last week and the links for the to submit your teams for this week. So that link will also go up on the website and through the at OTLS Pick'em Twitter handle as well.
Yeah.
We did mention again this week, Zano, I think it's important to acknowledge the passing of, and I apologise, I don't have a name handy, but a former GWS AFLW player.
Yep.
once again, sadly left us. So please, if you are struggling, please give Lifeline a call on 13 11 14. There is always somebody there to have a chat with and try to help you out. Make sure you subscribe and hit us up on Apple Podcasts. We are going to be going, I think, we'll do a bit of a recap after grand finals, Zano.
We'll have at least one more. One more. We'll do a recap of the winners and announce who gets the car this year.
Yep. And we've also got, I've started working on our preview, review, preview, double.
That's going to be interesting this year. Yeah.
It's going to be messy.
Very messy, I'm sure.
We had to restart and I've had to do pro rata calculations on the lines, and it's messy, Zano. It's messy.
Sounds
but we will be doing that, and we'll have some drafts over the off season. So, unfortunately, you're still going to have to listen to our ugly voices for a while.
And I'm sure we've got some NBA and BBL stuff to talk about at some stage as well. So, we'll have to see what we can do about that. Look, best of luck, everybody, in the final round of the year for Pick'em. Not too much luck because I've got 15 spots to make up to win another car. So hopefully we go well, and let's hope we have a good grand final this year. Thanks again. We'll talk next week.
OTLS Sports, giving you the analysis and advice you need to get over the line.